Moncrief on News Talk.
No Irish, no blacks, no dogs. You will no doubt be aware of the contention that signs saying this were common around England during the 1950s and 60s. Yet among historians, this is a severe bone of contention. There's only one photograph of such a sign, and the provenance of that photograph isn't at all clear. The journalist Michael Murphy, the son of Irish emigrants, has been writing about this in The Telegraph. Afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what led you to write about this. It has been written about before.
Yeah, so these six words, no Irish, no blacks, no dogs, have for many people become the sort of centerpiece of their understanding of Irish migration into Britain in the last century. You know, my own parents and grandparents were part of those waves of migration. And, you know, from an early age, the accounts that I would hear from the London Irish community who came over, especially before the Troubles, did not align with that narrative at all. You know, they said they were welcomed very warmly, that they were given a fair shake when they came over to find work. And so I was listening to the BBC the other day, and the slogan was repeated by a woman who claimed that it was commonplace to see those signs in the 50s and 60s. So I started doing a bit of my own research, and I found that there is no evidence, no hard evidence that these signs ever existed. And, you know, all we have to go on really is our oral testimonies, which we know can be fallible and sometimes unreliable.
Yeah. Okay. And why is this important, do you think?
Well, I think that the Irish migration into Britain in the 20th century is one of the great immigration success stories of the last 200 years. Almost anywhere, it's the Irish were largely welcomed. They were able to avail of opportunities that they didn't have at home, and send massive amounts of money back to Ireland. In 1950 alone, Irish remittances from Britain accounted for 3% of the country's GDP. So this is a sort of gross caricature of a far richer history, and it's worth questioning our assumptions about that history.
When you say it's been set up as the centerpiece of the Irish immigrant experience, who has done this?
Well, it's been quoted in Parliament. It's been used as the title of an autobiography by Johnny Rotten, the lead singer of the Sex Pistols. It's for many people, especially the younger generation, it's the first thing that comes to mind, if not the only thing that comes to mind about that period. And I think it's something of a cliche that we should we should challenge.
Yeah, the thing is though, I saw that the piece you wrote got a massive response from people, many of them disputing what you were saying, if not the literal truth of it, but that there were signs of this nature, and perhaps they encountered an attitude of that nature. And the Irish Times ran a similar piece, I think it was around 2015, 2016. And again, they got a massive response from people who were there at the time, who reported, no, they did feel prejudice at the time. As you say, it was a mixed response, but let's not pretend the prejudice wasn't there.
Well, I would push back on that slightly. So the sign, no Irish, no blacks, no dogs, only appeared in the 1980s, and it purports to be from the 1950s and 60s. But the term blacks only came into widespread usage actually after the 1970s. Before that, the term was coloureds. And so the phrasing in the slogan and the sign that everyone will have heard and seen is a clear anachronism. So that alone is not a smoking gun, but we should... it should make us want to investigate this a little further. Also, the idea that the Irish were discriminated against on a par with, say, immigrants from the West Indies, and the implication is that they were seen as somehow subhuman with the inclusion of dogs, just doesn't hold water. There are numerous academic studies and even an Irish government commission report from the 1950s. which suggests that the Irish face very few barriers in Britain. You know, one sociologist, John Jackson, said that they mostly enjoyed equal opportunities in the labor market with the native workforce. Mm. You know, a reporter for a Catholic magazine, The Furrow, went to Birmingham in 1957, and he said he was amazed at the courtesy and kindness of that the English were showing towards the Irish. And, you know, if, for listeners who aren't convinced by that, In 1958, a local newspaper suggested placing immigration controls on Irish immigrants. And the newspaper of Oswald Mosley, formerly of the British Union of Fascists, ran a piece with the headline, Hands Off the Irish. And the piece said that the Irishmen have long earned the right to come here. So I doubt that the British public at large were to the right of Oswald Mosley and his crew on that issue. So I would just I would say that the Irish enjoyed tremendous opportunities in Britain, and on the whole were very welcomed.
And so all the people and it seems like a substantial amount of people who remember this, or who remember signs similar to this, or who remember an attitude towards them, they're making it up.
No, I wouldn't want to dispute the claim of an individual person who says that they saw a sign. You know, some of the descriptions are indeed so so intricate that it does give you pause for thought, you know, about people describing postcards in windows held in place by, you know, by drawing pins and things like that. And so I wouldn't want to say that an anti-Irish sign never darkened a door in England. All I would say is that the idea that this that these were commonplace is, I would say, questionable, to put it mildly. And the idea that they were representative of the English attitude towards the Irish as a whole I would say, doesn't hold up to scrutiny.
Okay, so that attitude, you would say that the particularly among the British establishment changed since over a period of, say, 100 years, when the Irish were routinely depicted as subhuman in magazines like Punch.
Yes, I would say that, you know, you can see the transition of Irish immigrants from, you know, primarily, you know, working class and labour professions in the late 19th century to, you know, becoming household names in terms of television stars and you know, Irish nurses and the sort of general mood of acceptance of Irish immigrants in the UK definitely was on an upward trajectory over from the course of the 19th to the 20th century.
So there was a change, but when Irish people became TV stars, that would be later than the 50s or the 60s.
Sure, you know, but you started to have some Irish radio personalities. Terry Wogan, I think, came up in the 80s. He was very much loved. You had Irish actors who came over and made it in Britain, including Peter O'Toole, Richard Harris, etc. So I would say that there was clearly a shift from the, you know, the 19th to the 20th century, but the overwhelming weight of evidence in historical accounts, and I would say something of a historical consensus now, is that the Irish migration into Britain in the 20th century was overwhelmingly a success.
Given that these signs, whether they actually existed or not, did say no Irish, no blacks, no dogs. Would it also be your contention that people of Afro-Caribbean origin had a successful migration into Britain?
I'd say that's a much more mixed picture. There actually is evidence of signs saying, you know, no coloureds and no blacks in films from the BBC and Getty Images. And so we certainly have more evidence of systematic discrimination against people from the West Indies. But, you know, the one of the ways in which this sign is a myth is in the implication that the Irish were treated on a par with those immigrants from the West Indies, who were far more recognizable and had far less cultural commonality with the British population at the time.
How did dogs do? The British love their dogs. I assume that was really what blows the whole thing out of the water. Michael, thanks very much for talking to us today. And I must say, on the screen in front of me, it's filled with messages from people who dispute what you're saying and who say they did see those signs or variants on those signs.
Well, if all I've done is to spark a healthy debate, then my work here is done. Thank you, Sean.
Michael, thanks very much for talking to us. That's the journalist, Michael Murphy, there. Yes, says one texter, but an anecdotal experience doesn't really tell you the full story, though, does it? All he's going on is his parents' oral testimony. Well, no, he did cite a few other articles and studies by people. Maybe it predates the arrival of his parents. Wouldn't, from the sound of it, I would have thought. Then again, individual people can have completely different individual experiences. But we're kind of talking about a generality there. My mother worked in London between 1949 and 1951. She confirmed that she saw the signs frequently in West London. My mother lived there and saw them too. My mother was shocked, coming from a sheltered boarding school in Ireland and otherwise was welcomed at work. Excuse me. She was not unreliable. Ah, stop, says somebody else. I don't know where he did his research, but I've seen three separate photos of different signs saying the same thing. And oral testimonies are just as good as any pictures. Somebody else quotes Richard Harris. He stated on a US talk show that he saw the exact sign on a newsstand notice board in London in the early 60s and pulled it down and threw it in a bin. Excuse me. So your guest is talking nonsense. I have heard from numerous people that who lived in London during the 60s. Another person says, while for the most part I had a positive experience when I lived in the UK, I also endured prejudice. Once, due to storms, I was late going back after Christmas and my boss told me I should have had my mates in the IRA bomb me back. Well, I mean, and that's interesting because I suppose people, whilst the Troubles were in full force, there was a whole range of another form of discrimination going on there. Tell your man, I'll introduce him to loads of Irish still living around Birmingham who lived there in the 60s and who did see signs saying no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. What research did he do? And in the 70s, after the Birmingham pub bombings, an Irish person opening their mouth was liable to get a beating. No one is saying they were treated like the West Indian immigrants, said this text. And my mother had a good experience at work, but the signs were there, period. And this was in West London.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.